This morning in our scripture in Luke 24, we're going to see twice about people wonder. They talk about wonder. When you hear the word wonder, what do you think of? See that prayer about engaging your minds? Lord, please answer it. When you hear wonder, what do you think of? Wonder Woman. Noah's on a roll this morning. Wonder Woman. Anything else? Amazement. So we hear wonder, amazement. Questions. How something has happened. And we're going to see both those ideas in our scriptures today about things that are amazing and things that are also, how did that happen? What's that about? And that actually is the context that it's used in the scripture we're going to look at. So, how many senses have we? Boys and girls particularly, how many senses have we? And I know there'll be some wise people that'll tell us how many, and the fancy ones, but for us simple people, how many senses? Five! Okay, can you name me one? Touch. Smell. Mom, boys and girls, let's see if I get somebody else, but I'm back to you. Taste, yes, taste. Anything else? I've only got two people answering here. Somebody over there, Andrew? Hearing, I need one more. Sight, we've got five senses. Let's see if they're up here. Five senses, okay? And we know what they are, okay? So they are hearing, smell, taste, touch and eyesight, all our different senses for explaining and understanding the world. And our senses take in information. We use our senses to discover what's happening around us, but then we use our minds to process all that, to think about what all this information that we're receiving, what's it for? And that's where we engage our minds. Our senses feed our brains so that we can work things out. And when people were trying to work out what was happening on that first Easter day, we're going to see this morning how they used their senses. Their senses were very important to help them understand what was happening and what had happened and what was going to happen on that first Easter day. They used their senses, but they didn't just stop by using their senses. They used their senses to engage their brain to work out what was happening. Now, catch. Oh. What sense are you going to use with those? Smell. We use our sense for those. What are they? Lavender. Okay, so I do want them back at the end. Okay, the first sense that was we're going to hear about is about a smell, using our smell. Smell is supposed to be the one that is best linked to memory. Smell is supposed to be best linked to memory. And I wonder, when Mary ever smelled spices again, did she think, sorry, I have missed Jessica. Jessica, up you come. Sorry. I wondered why I was jumping ahead there. Jessica's going to come and give us a reading about Mary and smell. Okay, so you listen carefully how Mary is involved with smell. Jessica.
On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb.
So there we see our first sense, smell. They smelt, they brought spices. Now, they brought a lot more than that. They brought them to anoint the body of Jesus. And I wonder if every time Mary smelt spices again, did she think about that first morning she went to the tomb? Because memory and smell go together. And the smell that she would have brought was a beautiful perfume that she was bringing to Jesus. And spices remind us then, and maybe it does us all good, that when we use the spices in our house, spices remind us about Mary going to the tomb on that first Easter morning. Now, I need some volunteers. Yes, up you come. Your reading's not yet, Jessica. Okay, what are these? Rocks. Do you want to try and lift one? How does it feel?
Heavy.
It feels heavy. Do you want to put that one down? Do you want to lift the next one? You do? Oh, well done. Do you want to put it down now? Watch your toe. And what did you think of that rock?
Really heavy.
Thank you so much. You sit down. That's really heavy. And when we've got rocks like that, they were tried to be lift them. But lifting them is really heavy. But to lift them, we use our sense of touch. And Jessica's going to give us two more. Read two more verses that talk about our senses. Now, eyes are involved in all these. We'll be thinking of an eyes in particular all, but Jessica, you read the next two verses.
They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus.
Thank you. Do you want to go and sit down, Jessica? Thank you. So they found, what did they find? Stone rolled away. Was it that size? It would be a lot bigger than that. And you could see why they were wondering who was going to move it away for them, because it would have been so big and so much heavier than that. But stones are also cold. And stones remind us, the touch of them remind us that the tomb was a cold place. And particularly that morning when it was just before sunrise, stones remind us, and as they touched them, I'm sure they touched it and wondered, how did that get moved away? Reminds us of the tomb and how cold it was on that first Easter morning. A big heavy stone, but rolled away. Why was the stone rolled away? That's a rhetorical question. That means I'm going to answer it, okay? The stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out. The stone was rolled away so that Mary and others could go in. That they could go in and see that the tomb was empty. The stone could have been there and Jesus away back to heaven, but nobody would have known until the stone was rolled away. But that morning, the stone was rolled away was Mary's arriving, because God wanted Mary to be able to see inside and to report to the disciples and to report to you and me that the tomb is empty. So, we've had spices, the smell, we've had stone and touch. How many senses have we left? Three. Can you remember what the three are? Sight, hearing, taste. Sorry, I didn't hear that. Taste, indeed. Now, Karen's going to come, and she's going to read from Luke 24, and you listen out. Listen very carefully to hear what senses are used by the women here.
While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen."
Thanks, Caroline. So what senses were being used there? Sight. And what else? Hearing. What was it that they said? What was it the angel said? You're allowed to answer that one. That's not rhetorical. He is not here, he is risen. And this is where in verse 4 that Karen read out from the very start of it said, Mary wondered. She wondered. And Mary then saw it was empty, but she also heard. She heard these words, "He is not here, he has risen." And she knew who he was talking about, who the angel was talking about. Of course, it was Jesus. Jesus is not here. Jesus has risen. And she doesn't understand yet. She's wondering. Oh, she is wondering, what on earth happened? Where have they taken the body? Where have they taken Jesus? And then this angel's talk about he is not here, he is risen. What on earth does risen mean? So she's got gathering information. Her spices aren't going to be used. The stone is rolled away. She's heard the angels, but she's still wondering what on earth is going on. What has happened? So she runs off to find the disciples and to tell them. Maybe they'll know something, or she just wants to tell them. She needs to tell somebody about what has happened. So we need two disciples, and we have two disciples. Everybody look around at our two wonderful disciples. Now, we've got our two disciples, and I want you to listen carefully as Caitlin's going to come up, and our two disciples here are going to act out the scriptures, but you have to listen very carefully to make sure they're doing it right, and there will be a question in here, so listen very carefully to what Caitlin's going to say. Okay, Caitlin.
Disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said...
Well, maybe try that again, because the sound's a wee bit funny this morning. Off you go, try again.
So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first.
Oh! close run there. Okay, so here's a question for the rest of you. Maybe you need to read verses 3 and 4 again and then ask you a question, okay? Read 3 and 4 again.
The tomb, both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first.
Okay, who reached the tomb first? Oh, John. Oh, very good, because it actually didn't say John there. Well done. So John reached the tomb first. John?
He reached first.
No. And Peter? They're not finished yet? Okay. So John reached the tomb first. Peter, you get back a wee bit. John reached the tomb first. Okay. Now, Caitlin, you tell us what happened next.
Vern looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in.
This is the strips of linen, by the way, okay? You're not allowed to go in. Strips of linen, lovely linen, okay? He bent over and looked in, okay? And the next bit?
Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight to the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separated from the linen.
Super. So do you want to come around this side so everybody sees you, Peter? And what Peter are you looking at? Yes, he's looking at all the linen and at the end. He's looking at that. So what sense is Peter using? He's using a sight. And what does he see? The linen, and what way is the linen and the cloth? Nobody's brave enough to shout it all out. He just sees them like that. Now, boys and girls, does your mum ever say to you or give off to you about where you leave your clothes at night? Where do you leave your clothes at night often? Where you stepped out of them? Okay, it's actually not just the boys and girls. I see some wives here nodding the same way, okay? When you get undressed, some of us, when we get undressed at night, we just take our clothes off us and throw them there, don't we? After all, we know where they are for the morning, so why put them away? That's what I say all the time, okay? But when they came, they found something remarkable. Because this was it wasn't the actual one, but you got the idea. This was the strips wrapped around the body of Jesus. And they looked at them and they discovered they weren't lying in a pile. You see, if Jesus had got up and had to get out, do you remember what happened to Lazarus? What did they say to Lazarus when he came out of the tomb? They had to unwrap him. They said, go and unwrap him, because he was all wrapped up with a cloth. That's the way they did it. But if that had been the case for Jesus, there would have been a pile on the ground of all these cloths. But that wasn't the case. He looked at them, and that's why it says about Peter. Would you read that verse again, Caitlin, the last one you had?
As well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head, the cloth was still lying in its place, separated from the linen.
That's right. So it was just lying here. And Peter looked at it and thought, wow. It's just lying there as if the body just went away. It wasn't a pile lying somewhere else. And this would have been around the head of Jesus. And it was neatly sitting there. It wasn't as if somebody had come in and taken all this off Jesus, or Jesus had taken it off himself. It was all just lying there as if the body just vanished. Okay, give us the next part.
Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed.
Finally, the other disciple went inside and he saw this. Saw the empty tomb, but he saw the way these cloths were, and he saw and believed. We've now got somebody who believed, and what? The thing that convinced John was that the body of Jesus wasn't there, but also that the cloths were just left lying there as if the body had just vanished. He saw and believed. Thank you to all, Peter, John, and Caitlin. Thank you. And so the sense that John is using is, of course, his eyesight. He saw and believed. He saw and believed. So Peter and John left. John believed, because he saw the grave clothes were there. But Peter's actually still wondering. John believed, but Peter hasn't yet. He is still wondering. And it says, Peter saw this. This is in Luke 24:8. Peter saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away wondering. It's not my words. The words of Scripture says, Peter went away wondering what had happened. He saw this. The empty tomb, saw all those things, but he was still wondering what had happened. Now, the next part of the story, because we've been thinking about Mary wondering, and Mary went back to the tomb. Remember, she went to talk to the disciples, but she went back to the tomb wondering. It says again, Mary wondering what it all meant. Now, I have some water here. Would somebody like to come and taste the water? It's not poison. I'm glad you came today. Up you come. Do you want to taste that? It's not poisonous. It's salty. Well done. There's a lot of sympathy going out for you there. It's salty. And you wouldn't know it was salty until you tasted it. You needed to taste it to find the salt. And Mary stood outside the tomb, and she was crying. And did you know that tears are salty? You're not used to tasting tears, are you not? So I'm glad somebody told us that. But tears are salty. And so if you ever have to take salty water, remember and think about tears, and think about Mary and the tears. Because she stood outside the tomb in tears, crying. And she looked back in again, and the account says she looked back in, and she saw angels again, and she said to them and asked them, where have they taken my Lord? And then she turned round, and she saw a man that she thought was the gardener, and she said to him, please tell me where you have taken him so that I can go and get him. And of course, the person she was talking to when she turned round was Jesus. She didn't recognize him. She didn't recognize him standing there. She was so full of all experiences of the day, of wondering what on earth was going on, and her eyes were full of her tears. But she asked a man who had asked her, "Why are you crying?" She said, "I'm crying because they've taken my Lord away." And that man says one word. She hears one word. Her senses hear one word. What was the word she heard that made the world of difference for her? Her name, Mary. Mary. And she replied, "Rabboni." She saw Jesus. She hadn't recognized him until he said her name. And now she wonders no more. Now she's absolutely convinced because he's standing in front of her. And all those tears and all the effort she's gone to this day are all worth it because Rabboni, he's standing in front of her. And in fact, she uses her hands and she grabs on his feet, doesn't she? But Mary knew. She used her hands and she grabbed on his feet. She touched him. And she knew he was real. He was not a ghost. He was real. And all the information she's been processing through her senses this day has now come to the point where she knew it was Jesus. He is alive. Mary knew. She didn't wonder anymore. She knew. So we have John has believed, but actually he hasn't seen. John has believed. Mary has believed, but she has seen Jesus. Now, what's this? Bread. Now, somebody want to come up and taste this? It's not poison. Come on, Jessica. You come on ahead. Sorry, because you've done my reading for me. Isn't that what you do? You eat this, don't you? Yeah. Do you want to take a piece? I'm just putting it like it. It's not. It's cooked this morning.
Hopefully not by you.
Toaster. Is it nice? Yes. Thank you very much. But what we do with bread, we eat it. And flat bread like that, what did Jessica do? She broke a piece off it. She broke a piece off it. I want you to think about two other people. This is, again, for everyone to think about. Two other people who used the sense of seeing to know Jesus alive. Think for a moment. It was on Easter Day. You can confer, you can ask a friend, but there were two other people, and it had something to do with breaking bread, that they believed in Jesus. Give you 30 seconds, and then I'll call for an answer. Okay, so who were the other two? Anybody know? Cleopas and another disciple. And they were going on the road to Emmaus. And you remember Jesus walked alongside them. And we'd never heard of Cleopas before. And we never heard of him again. And I actually like to think that the other disciple was Cleopas's wife. It doesn't have to be another man. Cleopas, another disciple. And it says that when they walked with Jesus and talked with him, their hearts were stirred. But when they went and had a meal together, Jesus broke the bread, and suddenly they saw, as he broke it, they weren't able to recognize Jesus, but they remembered. And it's something about that. Their eyes were opened, and in the breaking of bread, they knew that it was Jesus, and they ran back. Sorry, this has stopped working. Mm-hmm. There. And the next one. At that moment, Cleopas and somebody else knew that Jesus was alive through the breaking of bread. So they have, through the senses of sight, of touch, of all the things that are going on, people, four people now, have come to know that Jesus is alive. We're going to have our last reading now. Aislinn's going to come and give us our last reading. And I want you to think about the senses that are used here to discover the truth about Jesus in this last reading. The truth about Jesus in this last reading.
While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence.
Thank you. So that was on the evening of the first Easter day, and the disciples were gathered, and Cleopas and his friend had run back to tell them that they'd met Jesus. They were able to say, Peter's also met Jesus now. Peter now believes as well. And then Jesus appears amongst them, and boy, there is wonder. Do you remember we talked about wonder two meanings? They are absolutely amazed. Because here standing in front of them is Jesus, and some of them think it must be a ghost we're seeing. Must be an apparition. And he says, "No, look, here's how you know it's me, because of my hands and my feet." Because they had the marks of the nails. And he showed them his hands and his feet. They still thought maybe it was a ghost. And he says, "Give me some fish. What have you got to eat?" And they said, "Some fish." And he ate the fish to show them that he was real. Yes, he had appeared in the room, didn't come through the door, but just like he'd come out of the grave clothes, just as he appeared in that room, he was still real. He could be touched. You could see it was Jesus, and they were filled with amazement. So they used all these different senses to work out that Jesus was alive. But what about you and me? How do we? Because we weren't there. We can't use our senses in the same way. We can't smell the spices. We can't see Jesus breaking the bread, but we can read about them. And the one thing that we use, that they all used, is our brain. Our brain to bring in all that information and process it and to wonder, did Jesus really rise from the dead? And when you process all that information, that first-hand accounts, you come to the conclusion that that the disciples, that Cleopas and Peter and Mary, and in fact all those other ones, even though they still could hardly believe it says, come to the conclusion that Jesus really has risen from the dead. Praise his name. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. But why is that important for us? Well, it's important because of a verse that Jim preached on last Sunday, or was in his talk. It says in Romans, if you declare with your mouth, this is for you and me, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Your heart, probably, like your mind. Isn't it really? We talk about our heart and our mind. So the first step to being saved is actually understanding that Christ, God has raised Jesus from the dead. God has raised him. He is no longer dead. Jesus is alive and in heaven. And that fills our heads. And I hope here we've all worked through that. We have thought about it, we have wondered about it, and we have become convinced that Jesus has been raised from the dead. That is a brilliant step. That is so vital. That's a building block to build our faith on. But you know what? It's not enough. It is not enough. because the other part of the bit says, you know, and means you've got to do both parts, not a or. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. That's a testimony of faith. That is saying, I believe not only that Jesus is risen from the dead, but that Jesus is not just a Savior, but He is Lord. And I'm prepared to say it because I believe it. I believe Jesus is Lord, and that means that I believe Jesus is now my King. I'm going to do what He says, not what I say. I'm going to follow Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is risen from the dead. That proves my sins are forgiven. I don't have to try and be good and work all these, you know, do lots of things to be good, to try and get into heaven. No, I get into heaven because God raised Jesus from the dead, and I believe that, and I've declared it with my mouth, and I'm going to live it out that Jesus is Lord. So this morning, I hope you believe God raised Jesus from the dead. It is a fundamental part of our creeds. Paul says, if we don't believe that, you can pack up and go home. That's a fundamental part. But it's not all the story. It comes down to you and me that if we confess with our mouth Jesus Lord and believe God raised them from the dead, you, I will be saved.